Well, happy Thursday. How are you today? When was the last time somebody said that to you? Happy Thursday. Well, if you're walking with God, every day ought to be happy, so why not Thursdays? This is the new LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, and it's episode 520. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host, for better or worse. I'm glad you're here. If this is your first time, welcome. What are we doing around here? Well, this is the podcast that helps you achieve consistency in reading the Bible. So many people say that, man, I really need to read my Bible more, and they try it for a week or so, and then they give up. Well, I'm here to help you not give up. The way the show works is we have a new episode for you every Monday through Friday. On Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, we read the Old Testament. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, it's the New Testament. Each episode is usually between 10 and 15 minutes long. Today, our scripture is 2 Corinthians 9, 10, and 11. And we're reading from the New International Version. And the translations, by the way, change from day to day and week to week. So with all that introductory stuff, let's get started. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. There is no need for me to write to you about this service to the Lord's people, for I know your eagerness to help, and I've been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year you and Achaia were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. But I'm sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you in this matter should not prove hollow, but that you might be ready, as I said you would be. For if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to say anything about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brother to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you had promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for the food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. By the humility and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you, I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold toward you when away. I beg you that when I come I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be toward some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. You are judging by appearances. If anyone is confident that they belong to Christ, they should consider again that we belong to Christ just as much as they do. So even if I boast somewhat freely about the authority the Lord gave us for building you up rather than tearing you down, I will not be ashamed of it. I do not want to seem to be trying to frighten you with my letters. For some say, his letters are weighty and forceful, but in person he is unimpressive and his speaking amounts to nothing. Such people should realize that what we are in our letters when we are absent, we will be in our actions when we are present. We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. We, however, will not boast beyond proper limits, but will confine our boasting to the sphere of service God Himself has assigned to us, a sphere that also includes you. We are not going too far in our boasting, as would be the case if we had not come to you, for we did get as far as you with the gospel of Christ. Neither do we go beyond our limits by boasting of work done by others. Our hope is that, as your faith continues to grow, our sphere of activity among you will greatly expand, so that we can preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. For we do not want to boast about work already done in someone else's territory. But let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I hope you'll put up with me in a little foolishness. Yes, please put up with me. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the spirit you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. I do not think I am in the least inferior to those super apostles. I may indeed be untrained as a speaker, but I do have knowledge. We have made this perfectly clear to you in every way. Was it a sin for me to lower myself in order to elevate you by preaching the gospel of God to you free of charge? I robbed other churches by receiving support from them so as to serve you. And when I was with you and needed something, I was not a burden to anyone, for the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied what I needed. I have kept myself from being a burden to you in every way and will continue to do so. As surely as the truth of Christ is in me, nobody in the regions of Achaia will stop this boasting of mine. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows I do. And I will keep on doing what I'm doing in order to cut the ground from under those who want an opportunity to be considered equal with us in the things they boast about. For such people are false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising, then, if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. I repeat, let no one take me for a fool. But if you do, then tolerate me just as you would a fool, so that I may do a little boasting. In this self-confident boasting, I'm not talking as the Lord would, but as a fool. Since many are boasting in the way the world does, I too will boast. You gladly put up with fools, since you are so wise. In fact, you even put up with anyone who enslaves you, or exploits you, or takes advantage of you, or puts on airs, or slaps you in the face. To my shame, I admit that we were too weak for that. Whatever anyone dares to boast about, I'm speaking as a fool, I also dare to boast about. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I'm out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak, and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin, and I do not inwardly burn? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, who is to be praised forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under King Aretas had the city of the Damascenes guarded in order to arrest me, but I was lowered in a basket from a window in the wall and slipped through his hands. May God bless the reading of His Word. In chapter 11, Paul addressed the problem of false teachers. This is a subject that always gets my attention because the enemy is always so active in this area. Think of it. He has this act down cold. He used false teaching to persuade Eve to disobey God's clear intention to not eat from the knowledge of good and evil. Nah, you won't die. God just doesn't want you to be like Him. So yeah, he's been twisting the truth. He's been a false teacher since the very beginning of man's history. The enemy has made studying man's weaknesses his life's work, and he uses his centuries of study to capitalize on them. He uses our weaknesses to craft lies that'll draw us away from God. Some lies seem patently ridiculous and easy to spot, and others are incredibly complex and difficult to decipher. Different lies appeal to different people. One lie that the enemy uses very effectively is the lie that it matters when people think we're stupid or, as Paul said in chapter 11, foolish. Give me a break. Really? Why do I care if someone thinks I'm an idiot for devoting my life to proclaiming the good news? Yeah, but here's the thing. I want to be liked. I want to be accepted by the cool kids. You probably do too. That's a very human characteristic, and the enemy uses that quirk to try to make us shut up. So the next time you're made to feel less than because of your faith in Jesus, consider the source. Remind the enemy that you are an heir with Jesus and that His destruction is coming soon. Be bold in living out your faith. Don't be shy in fulfilling the calling God has given you. He is the only one whose opinion of you should shape your behavior, not some internet troll or anybody else. In the last half of chapter 11, Paul told of how he had been beaten, stoned, shipwrecked, and several other life-threatening hardships. Why? Because of his refusal to sit down and shut up, and his desire to take the gospel as far as he could. You and I have the opportunity, because of the time in which we live, to take that message literally to every country in the world from the comfort and safety of our home. We don't have to face the hardships that Paul did. Since I began podcasting on November 13, 2004, I doubt if there's a country on the planet that at least one person has not downloaded one of the LifeSpring shows. If God can use me, He can use you. If we do not follow Jesus' last command to go into all the world and make disciples, we have no excuse. I don't want Him, when I stand before Him, to say, "You had one job. What happened? Why didn't you use the tools I gave you?" What are your thoughts? Let me hear from you at steve@lifespringmedia.com. A special thanks today to my friendly editor for his support of the show, which, by the way, as a supporter of the show, he's helping me to spread the good news to the world. If you want to help out in that, stop by support.lifespringmedia to see how you can be a part of the support team. Well, today being Thursday, guess what? Tomorrow's Friday. There's a reason to celebrate. Will you be with me tomorrow? I hope so. Until then, may God bless you richly. My name is Steve Webb. Bye.